Bottom of Daf Dalim Beis, quotes a Mishnah. Mishnah we've been talking about. We're now officially in the second line of the Mishnah. Right? Moved on from Sol Esrim Amma. Most Masechtos, I think, spend more time on the first line of the first Mishnah of the first parak than any other line in general. Or certainly more time on the first Mishnah typically than any other Mishnah. So we spent Baruch Hashem quite a bit of time on the Psul Lamala Me Esrim. Now the Gemara picks up, how about the psul of Eina Gavoa Asar Tzvachim Minalan? We saw Itmar, a whole slew of Amoraim, early Amoraim tell us, the Aron Tisha, the bottom of Dalam and Beis, Kaporas Tefach, the Aron is an arm and a half, that's 9 Tzvachim, Kaporas is additional Tefach, Harei Kan Asara, a total of 10 Tzvachim. So from the ground, from the floor to the top surface of the Aron, the top of the Kaporas, is a height of 10 tefachim, an elevation of 10 tefachim. V'chsev, v'nu'adati l'chasham, v'dibarati t'chamiyah l'kaporas. Baruch Hashem says, I'm going to speak to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, from the top of the kaporas. So apparently there was a gilu shechina directly above the kaporas, 10 tefachim off the ground. And so what's, and why is that interesting? I mean, fascinating, but why is that interesting for us? Because, Nehem and Aleph, the Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Me'olam Liyor, the Shechina L'matav, Lo'olam Moshe Ve'Eliyahu, L'marim. Shechina never came down onto the ground. Shenemar, Moshe didn't go all the way up. I know, Shemai Sharam L'Hashem, Ve'aretz Nasan L'vnei Adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Aretz Nasan L'vnei Adam, Rabbi Yossi understood means that's an area that's going to be for people as opposed to for Gilu Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the entire universe. He's involved with everything, Shemayim V'aretz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in any one place. God created the whole notion of place. Place is a limit. Space is a limitation. Space is a dimension. Space is a box, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and then, so to speak, within the box, he created the material universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bound by space. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with things that are all over. What do you mean? Shamayim Shamayim Lashem Arts Nasan of Ne Adam. So we might have assumed that means that Shamayim is Hashem only, whereas Aretz is Hashem and Bnei Adam. But the Tana Rabbi Yossi said, no, it actually means there is a sense in which Aretz is Bnei Adam as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the entire universe. Yes, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses not to have a Gilui Shechina, not to reveal the strength of his presence on Aretz. But that's how the Rabbi Yossi is reading this pasuk. Aye, what do you mean? But the Shekhinah comes down, so God says, always, l'mala me'asara. How I know the Shir Asar? Because that's the height of the Aron and Kaporis. And the Shekhinah appeared right above the Kaporis. You see, it came up to the 10 tefach line, and then the Gemara goes on to say, all the other cases of Gilu Shekhinah are also above the 10 tefach line. Question? I don't want to get too far afield here, but this didn't help in that previous Gemara, because al pidin there were mechitzas asar, just were little bits of sach that were reaching down. So with asar tochim alone, which we're learning from here, that would have sufficed. That wouldn't suffice over there. But again, coming back, right? You're right. Let's restructure things again. We were dealing up until now with question number one: is how do you fit the two pieces of Gemara together? Rava and Davdal Malfatolad Dirasrucha, and here we have a drasha for Shira Saratvachim. And now that we dealt with that, now we sort of focus our attention. Okay, so we're going to learn from here Saratvachim. The question is, well, how do we learn anything from here? So Rashi says, again, where do you see Mechitas? If you have told me, well, the Aron Kaparis is 10 Tvachim, and I'll show you that the inside the Aron is a Rosh Hashayach, outside Rosh Hasharabim, something like that. I'll show you that inside the Aron, outside the Aron, are considered to be two different zones. Gevaldik. So I just demonstrated a Mechitza Sasara. But where do you see Mechitza here? We didn't say they're Mechitza. We said, if anything, this is all vertical. It's not horizontal. You know, to the right of this wall has one status, to the left of this wall has a different status. This is a vertical break. We're saying, above the 10 Tefach line is not Aretz. That's where Gilui Shchina can come up until 10 Tfachim, but below 10 Tfachim, that's called Aretz, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a decision that he doesn't want to have a Gilui Shchina there. What does that have to do with the Mechitza? Mechitza is a 10 Tfach high thing, which separates here and there. It separates horizontally. The drush is very difficult. As Rashi says, sharpens what we see in our Gemara, but doesn't seem to answer our question. Let me take more questions in a couple minutes. Let's read the top Rashi. Top Rashi Hamanal. V'sanya me'olam la'yorad ha'shchina l'mata me'asar ha'tvachim. Right, that's Reb Yossi's principle. And then Rashi completes the train of thought. Ukroksiv da'al kaporos yorad. You're telling me the Shechina never came down. La'aretz. Aye, on the other hand, the line we just had at the bottom of Dalam Beis, there was a Gilui Shechina on top of the kaporos. So what do you see? Shema mina l'mala me'asara mifzika rishusa. You see that above 10 tefachim is a different rishus from below 10 tefachim. Okay. But again, that sharpens what our Gemara is saying. It doesn't really help, though, to understand mechitzas. So how do you make sense of this? Where do you see mechitzas from here? I think the way to go about it is to, and then I was looking back in notes, an article from a long time ago, and I discovered an article of Tavshim Samach Beis, and I discovered I had reference where Rav Schechter said in Shir in Elul of Tavshin Nun Zion, 20 years ago when we learned Masech HaSukkah, Yeshiva, the last time I learned Masech HaSukkah. So what I'm going to tell you is apparently what I heard in Shir 20 years ago. Maybe present a little bit differently, but I think the Yisod will be the same. This is the problem. As a matter of fact, there's a funny footnote in the Ra'ah, but we'll get back to maybe later, footnote 119, who seems to think it's like almost like a machlokas. Like Rashi is saying it has to do with Hefsik Rishus, while Tosfos and the Ra'ah say we're learning from here the din of Mechitza Sasara, at the bottom Tos and Dalam Beis. So the footnote on the Ra'ah almost says like a machlokas. Like Tosus over there in the Ra'ah, they say we're learning Mechitza Sasara. Rashi seems to tell us something else about Hefsik Rishus. Lechor or not, we are learning Mechitza Sasara. But again, how does the Drasha work? So I would suggest, as is often the case, Divrei Torah, Aniyim Malkam Echad, Vashir Malkam Acher, the way Torah Shalpeh is structured and presented, it will often be impoverished in one place and richer elsewhere. That's what I think the drush that Gemara has in the pasuk in the end of Mishlei that we know from Eishes Chayil. Eishes Chayil is the end of Mishlei. Mimerchak tavi lachma. Sometimes she'll bring her bread from far away. You can't always figure out everything from looking at the blot. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you got to look. Torah, call it Torah kula inyanechadu. So let's look elsewhere to the world of Ksusei Michta Shirei, which I began to work on Seder this morning. And we'll see how in the context of Ksusei Michta Shirei, Asara Tzvachim is a sort of a unique type of shir. And that might give us a hint to how Asar Tzvachim works. And once we learn about Asar Tzvachim in the context of Kesusei Michta Shiure, we're able to bring it back here to the very core source of Asar Tzvachim. And we'll see what's going on seems to be rooted in the very source here. Our Gemara is the source for Asar Tzvachim, right? That's what the Tosfos is saying. And the fact that Asar Tzvachim, Shabbos Davav says that Asar Tzvachim is a Shir of Mechitza for Shabbos, that also comes from right here. This Gemara is very, very central. The whole notion of Mechitzas Asar Tvachim comes from Sukkah Dav Hei. So let's figure it out. So let's look into a particular corner. Once again, like we were saying before, that of all the things in the world, some of them are not kosher, some of them are Asar Bachila. All the things which are Asar Bachila, there's a subset which are not just Asar Bachila, but Asar Bahana, comprehensively. Right? If I have a piece of non-kosher meat, I'm allowed to feed it. Pasuk says Beferish, right? I could feed it to the Alkel of Tashlichan himself. Or I could sell it to someone, a non-Jew, not mechuyev to keep kosher. So I could sell. I happen to have a piece of non-kosher meat. I could give it, perhaps. Certainly, I could sell it. Not aser bahana, and boar's head. Not aser bahana. If I have baser b'cholav, that's not only aser b'achila, it's even aser bahana. And then, as we were talking about, within the world of Isurei Hana'a, of which there are not more than Taina Anim's Aser Bahana'a, the last Mishnah, Maseches Temura, breaks, subcategorizes Isurei Hana'a into Nisrafin and Nikbarin. Right? If the Israel now were just arsa b'hana, no chiyuv to destroy it in a particular way. L'maisa, you should bury them, nikbar, and you leave them around the house. It's going to create a michshal for others, so when they come across and not realize arsa b'hana. But then you have the higher level, which are actually nisrafim. But not only are they arsa b'hana, you also have a requirement, a mitzvah, a holy sacred mitzvah, to take it and burn it. Okay. So with that in mind, we turn from the first parak to the third parak. Let's take a look at Lamed Daled Amid Beis. The second Mishnah in Perek Lulav HaGazal. The first Perek Mishnah in Chavtes goes through different examples of Lulavim which are not kosher. Excuse me, not the second. The second Mishnah is Lamed Beis. That's about Hadas. Third Mishnah is Arava. It's on Lamed Gimel. And finally, on Lama Dal and Beis, there are two Mishnayos. Top Mishnah talks about numbers, how many Adasim, how many Aravas. And then the bottom Mishnah, I'm sorry, this is the fifth Mishnah in the Perek, Esrog. Esrog HaGazol VaYavesh Pasol. If it's a stolen Esrog, it's no good. That's the opening Sugya in the third Perek. Why is Gazol no good? Is it because of Mitzvah Baba Veirav or something else? Okay, beautiful Sugya, not for now. Or the dried out Esrog is no good. Then we understand, it sounds like maybe it's not Hadar, it's not complete. Okay, we understand that's physically, it's too physically imperfect. The dried out esrog is not going to be kosher for the mitzvah. Then the Mishnah says, Shal Asherah Vishal Irani Dachas, the tussle. You happen to have if there was a tree that became, someone planted a tree for the purpose of worshipping it. And then they talk of worshipped it. Once it started growing, they worshipped it. So that tree is not Asherah. Also, about not and you mechuyev to burn it, as the psukim say explicitly. Chiyev shreifas, minan esrafim. Let's say the asherah tree I got to burn was a cypress pine. There were no fruits. Let's say someone had planted an esrog tree, l'shem avodah zarah, and as it grows, they begin to worship it, and now it's growing esrogim. So those esrogim are asherah esrogim. So a Jew decides to take that esrog and use it for the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Are you yotze? What does the Mishnah say? No, absolutely not. Why? Why? Physical integrity is fine. It's not going to get dried up. Once you burn it, obviously, it's not much left. But it's still kayam. So what does the Gemara say? Mil of lamin hamad al for the two dots. Eshal asher she'er yidach haspasel. My taima, how come? Says the Gemara, well, came into l'sreifa kai, since it's omid l'sreifa, it's omid to be burned, ketuse michtas shiure. It's as though the shiur is already ground up. Kasush, kaf taf shin, is one of the ways to say grinding in Hebrew. Pulverized. So like, I'm sure you know that many times you'll have a shin in Hebrew which corresponds to a taf in Aramaic. Like the word shar becomes tura. Or the word for snow, shalek, becomes kalga. Right? Or the word three, how do you say three in Aramaic? Shalosh, right? Because it's shalosh. Right? Doesn't always, sometimes halfway. How do you say six in, how do you say six in Aramaic? Shita, right? Apparently some shins switch over, some shins stay the same. This shin stays the shin, and this shin becomes a tav. Now, it's not time for Arabic, but they're probably correspondences. Anyhow, kasisha becomes kasisa. Kasuse michtas shire. The shire is ground up. The shire is ground up. Yeah.
There's no shire at all, or is it a shire of like ashes? Almost nothing.
Great question. Great question. So what the Gemara here is telling us is if you have an item, if you have a davar as aser b'hana, not aser b'hana, but it's made on israfin, so then if it can't count for a shear. So if you need it for something that actually has a shear, like the esrog Mishnah is talking about, the end of that Mishnah on Lama Dalam Beis, the machlokes, what's the minimum size of an esrog? Has to be at least kagos or kibetza. So the Gemara says, well, whatever the shear is, this doesn't, because it is aser b'hana, minan esrafin, it loses its shear. Okay. And the Gemara says earlier, Lamed Aleph, about Lulav, the same thing. Lulav shel Asherah, ksusei michtas shiur. So. Now, and now let's turn our attention to that a Gemara in Tosas in Abram that I asked you to look at. There are multiple ways of looking, understanding Kesusei Michta Shirei. There is a Machlokas Rashi in Tosas afoot. I don't want to get into it. It's not really our topic. I'm glad to send out by Google Classroom a link to an article from the Kol Elyon Journal from Kol Tzvi, Toshin Stalach Bey, to dig into the Kesusei Michta Shirei issues more. Suffice it to say, there is a Rashi and there's a Ritva and Sukkah. That's one approach. But we're going to look at this Tosas. Let's take a look at this Tosas. So what's going on in Erevin? What's going on in Erevin? This takes us back to the very beginning of our journey through Masechah Sukkah. At Daf Beis Amud Aleph, you learn about the Masakein HaKorah, a Mavui, with a Lechi or a Korah. I have to have a reminder, if I have a dead-end Mavui, a Mavui Sasim, so Min HaTorah should be allowed to carry in the Mavui Midrabana, I need to put up either a vertical standing Lechi along the side of the doorway, or a Korah across the top. Right? We dealt last time with the shear of it has to be not more than 20 amos off the ground. But there also are shiurim for the items themselves. The lechi has to be 10 tefachim high. The korah has to be a width of, I believe, a tefach and a half. There's an unusual way of expressing it. Wide enough to hold a certain type of brick. Basically boils down, I believe, to a tefach or tefach and a half wide. So here, right before the mission, the very top of Peyam and Beis and Masechas Erevin, Itmar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar. Chiya Bar Ashi said, Osin Lechi Ashera. You're allowed to use Ashera wood. If you use Ashera wood to make a Lechi, it's a valid Lechi. You're allowed to carry in that within that mother. Rav Shim Ben Lakish, otherwise known as Reish Lakish, he said, Osin Korah Ashera. You can use, if you use a piece of Ashera wood as a cross piece, as a Korah Tima to the mother, that's fine. One spoke about Lechi, one spoke about Korah. So do they agree? They disagree? We want to know how do they relate to each other? How do they stack up? So the Gemara explains, well, Mandam are Korah, Kol Shkein Lechi. If you hold it, it's good, if Asher works for a Korah, it certainly works for a Lechi. I mean, it's easier to use Asher for a Lechi than for a Korah. So, and that's which is why the Gemara says, Mandam are Lechi, Aval Korah lo. When Rechia Bar Ashi said, you can use Asher as a Lechi, he meant Lechi only. Reish Lakish meant even a Korah. Rachi Rashi would say, no, only a Lechi, Aval Korah lo. Why? Kesuse Michtas Shiure. Asherah wood, as we came across the Masechah Sukkah, is Harei, Asra Havana, Midan Nisrafin, and we apply Kesuse Michtas Shiure. So the same way, it's no good for an Esra, it's no good for a Lulav, perhaps no good for a Chalitza Shul, it's no good for a Korah. Because Kesuse Michtas Shiure. Because the Korah has to have a certain width. And they say, it doesn't have the right shear, because it's as though it's all burnt up, pulverized. It's as though it's crushed up. Man, the Nisrafim is as though it's crushed up. So it's no good as an Esrog, no good as Lulav, no good as a Korah. Tosas is bothered. Say, one second. I understand. So it's also no good as a Lechi. Why is the Gemara assuming that it's fine for a Lechi, but not for a Korah? That seems to be the way we paskin. Right? You see, look a little letter. A little letter base, I tell you, the Rambam, the Torah, Shulchan Aruch, I tell you, Paskin, that it's acceptable, Asherah wood is acceptable for a Lechi, but not for a Korah. So Tosas right away jumps on the obvious question. Tosas Yemasra Aval, Afal Gavda Lechi Nami Boishir Gova. Lechi also has to have a certain height, it has to be 10 Tzvachim. So why don't they take Susan Mechtashir? Says, well, Tosas tries to work on it. Says, well, it has to have rochav mashu. It has to have some degree of depth, of width. Because if you want to use paint to make a lechi, you're going to paint a stripe on the side of the doorway. It has to be enough paint that actually there's some thickness. Right? You're going to enough layers. You actually can feel some thickness as a bump. Okay, you have to have some substance to it. And it has to be 10 tefachim high. So the same way Asherah wood is disqualified for a Korah because it's not going to make the shear. It never adds up to any shear. So how does it add up to a shear of 10 tefachim? It says, what's going on? So it says, well, maybe came to buy a shear zuta. You only need a small shear. So they weren't machmer that. They're left wondering, well, what does that mean? The Ben Avram explains. I'm not sure if he's explained the previous line in Tosas or not, but he's certainly answering the question. Rabbi Rabbeinu Avraham, who the a Baal HaTos we do not often hear from, Rabbeinu Avraham Pirish, Lechi, Imhayim Medabei Kaksisim Bekosel Havi Lechi. If I could have stuck all of those little bits, like Ksusei Michta Shirei Kaksisim, all the little bits, because like we imagine as though it's like pulverized, as though it's granulated. It's Aser Bahanotman and Esrafin, so it's always like granulated, like little bits. It's okay. So he's right. So it's as though it's little bits. So imagine if you had a stack of little bits. So if you had a stack, a tentafach tall stack of what's it called? Of sawdust. He says that would be fine as a lechi. You would have to stick it to the wall. But actually, you need talus beruach. It has to be able to be stable enough that it doesn't get blown away in the wind. So practically speaking, if you had a pile, if you managed to build a pile, 10 tefach high pile of sawdust, practically it wouldn't work because it would get blown away in the wind. But if you would glue, you know, if you would glue 10 tefachim of sawdust to the doorpost, oh, so that's fine. Masha Enochin apparently left. What's Rabbeinu Avraham saying? I'm sorry, why Mashiach ain't Korah? Korah, if I manage to sort of keep, you know, a line of, theoretically, I had like a line of sawdust, a line of little bits and pieces, or let's say a whole, or more practically, I had a whole bunch of thin slats of wood. No one slat, these little skinny dowels, skinny wooden sticks going across. No one stick is a tefach and a half wide. But together, I have a whole bunch of them. So together, they're a tefach and a half wide. Is that kosher? No. If I have an esrig, and I chop it up into little pieces, and then I sort of stick them all together, stack them all together, so they look okay, like those magic tricks. Right? So you have a whole stack of little pieces of esrig, and I'm holding it, and it's carefully stacked, they're all, you know, standing together. Is that kosher? No. I need one single esrog, that one piece that has a shear of an egg goes, a beitz or whatever, what have you. If I have a lulav, and I cut the lulav into, I chop the lulav down to pieces, then I stack them very carefully, and they're all balanced. And it's a four tefach high stack of lulav pieces. Is that kosher? No. Because I need a single item that's four tefachim long. I need a single, for esrog, I need a single item that's a single piece, which is a ke'egos or a kebetza. For Korah, I need a single piece of wood, which is what? Which is tefach and a half wide. But apparently, Tosis says, Rabbi Avraham says, the lechi somehow is different. I don't actually need a single piece of wood or whatever material, which is ten tefachim high. I just need to cover ten tefachim. A stack of little bits, no one bit is even one tefach, but together the stack is ten tefachim, that would be fine. I don't, by lechi, need a single item, which is ten tefachim high. That's interesting. You have to ask yourself, well, why? Like, where did it come from? What does that mean? So Rabbi Avraham is already telling us, by the way, number one, that what Kasu, he's being very clear, that what he understands Kasusei Michta Shi'urei to mean, is that the stuff, the material is still there, it just, we don't see it as a single item. A normal, one of the most basic principles of dealing with the material world is object integrity. Right? This is a single thing. This is a single item. It hangs together. Right? Well, maybe not. Right? There's actually a marker and a cap. And they actually are two items. But this cap we see as a single item. It's not a pile of plastic grounds. A single item. If I cut it into pieces, I grind it down, then it'll be a host of little pieces. Right? So that notion of being an object, being a single whole object, object integrity, you could call it. So apparently Avraham is saying, if something is not only Aser Bahanah, but Min HaNisrafim, there's a special Chiddush in Halacha that Al Pidin is such like a something so off about it. It's aser b'hanah, it's super aser b'hanah, it's ben nisrafin. It loses, number one, not allowed to have hanah from it. Number two, you're supposed to destroy it. And number three, even before you destroy it, it already lacks like object integrity. It's not a thing. There's material there, there's stuff, but it's we don't see it, al pi halacha, as like being a single whole piece. So for a lulav, I need a single whole piece of lulav. not a piece. It's just a four tefach stack of bits. Even though physically it's a single piece. I have a regular normal looking lulav. Bal pi halacha, it's as though it's like just material, but without chomer, without surah. Material without structure. There's stuff there, but I don't see it as it lost its sense of being a thing. That's what he's saying, right? We envision as though it's kesisim. There's stuff there. That's why for lechi it's fine, because for lechi apparently somehow we know how do we know this? Somehow esrei has to be a single piece. Lulav has to be a single piece. The shear of the piece. So it's not a piece. Korah has to be a single piece. So there's no one piece here anymore. But somehow lechi is different. Why is lechi different? Yeah. It is a hecker, as is a korah.
I know, so I don't know why a korah is a single piece, but if it's just a hecker to show the sort of pesach or whatever it is, then it doesn't necessarily need to be one piece. It just needs to be able to serve as a hecker, which should seemingly be fine. But for a korah, I don't know why it needs to be one piece to go across. It's also just a hecker.
Yeah, it's a problem. No, it's strange. Apparently, even though it's a hecker, but the way Chazal set it up, Chazal wanted to make a hecker. It could have been a flashing light, whatever. They said, no, we want you to, the hecker should be either a piece of wood that's a certain width along the top, or stuff that goes 10 tefachim up the side of the, well, that's a funny way of looking at it. Why didn't they say, no, you have to have a piece? What's going on? Yeah, what do you say, Yossel?
I just have a question.
Is it, if it's going to take us off, maybe let's come back to after us? Or I'll catch you after us?
Sure.
Yeah?
By the Esrog and the Lulav, we need an Esrog and the Lulav. We can't have, right? Well, after it's, because you say, Mechtash Shira, right? It's not considered a pre-Eitz a Hadar anymore, right? It's not an Esrog. So I'm not so sure about the Lach in the Korah. Maybe because, I mean, that's, I would think, why you can't have an Esrog that's perfect together. But by, or theoretically perfect together, but by the Lach in the Korah, is it just an extension of the
Mezuzah? Ooh. So let's take a look. Can we read a Rambam together? Do you want to read the Rambam with me? That about this or around this?
No.
Do you read through Rambam with this? Yeah?
It seems that we're already saying that Rambam's mentioned that Nechi is the exception to the rule. When it's supposed to slash the Mezuzah, Mulav and Esther is the exception to the rule.
Really? That's a great point. And the question is, it seems like not everyone Tosis may have agreed to the Rambam. Let's take a look at another piece of Tosis. Tosis goes on to say, how about a ladder? Tosis says, let's say you have two different chatzeros. Chatz number one with a couple of houses, chatz number two with a couple of houses. So they can each make their own Erev Chatzeres within their own. I don't want to make one big Erev Chatzeres. They have to be connected. What could connect them? A doorway or a ladder. You have a ladder, go with one to the other, so that's like a doorway, it's like a Pesach. It can't be a hamster ladder, it has to be a human ladder, it has to be four tefachim wide. So it's a ladder that's reasonable, people can actually climb from one to the other. So the Tosis goes on to say at the end, in Tomar, Machshirin le'el sulam shel ha'sheira, earlier, couple blood earlier, in Chesun Bez, they said that if the ladder connecting the two chatzeros is made of Asherah wood, oh, it's really quite an unusual situation, a lot of Asherah products going on here, that's fine, it's kosher, afa gavda boy rachav dalet, it needs to be four tvachamor, v'lo'ar michtas shi'ura kimo korah, we didn't do it like with korah. What's going on? Omeri, so how come, again, the lechi is fine, and the ladder is fine. I have to have a shear for tefachim. The Re says, you know, Hasam Chashev Pesach, Kevin de Chazila Aliyah. Because over there, it is a doorway. Because it's usable, it's for tefachim wide, it's usable for climbing on. It happens to be, you're not allowed to. Lavi Sura Da Sheva. Practically speaking, you're not supposed to use that ladder because it's Asur Bahana, but there is access. But the Korah, Hitzricho Chacham Mishura Shal Chashivas. Chacham wanted to have a certain shear of Chashivas. What does any of this mean? And you look at the Rambam, he's also surprising. Then take a look at Rambam HaPerek Yizayin. Bakol Osin Korah. Avalo Ba'asherah. You're allowed to make a korah of anything, just about anything in the world except for asherah. Why? V'sheyesh l'rochav ha-korah shir. Because there's a minimum shir for the width of a korah. V'chol ha-shi'urim asurim in asherah. You can't have something with a shir from an asherah. It won't work. V'kama rochav ha-korah, Rambam writes, halach yud gimel, per gizayin lach yingo. Ein pachas mi tefach, excuse me, not tefach, half, a tefach, v'av yakol shu. Okay. Now, so that seems pretty straightforward. Then you look back halachi and beis. Perik yizayin hilchashavas halachi and beis. Bakol olsen lechayayim. Afilu bedavar sheish baruchayim. Vafilu v'yisuri hanoya. You could make a lechi, a vertical lechi, side post, even from something alive, or even an animal, or even something else about now. Avodazara atzma. O asherah. Sha'asa osa lechi kosher. The avodah zarah itself, or you have a asherah, you made into lechi, that's acceptable. Why? Shehalechi av yokol shu, because a lechi has no minimum thickness. There's no shear for the thickness of a lechi. It sounds like that's why it's okay, because lechi doesn't have a shear. Ah, korah has a certain shear of thickness. The lechi has no shear of thickness. See, it's fine. There's material there, it doesn't have a shear. The problem is in the very next line, the Rambam with a straight face says, by the way, go v'halechi v'pachim v'zarah tfachim. Lechi has to be at least 10 tfachim tall. What just happened? You just told me, don't worry. Lechi has no shear, no thickness necessary. So that's why there's no problem because it's enough to shear. By the way, it has a shear height.
No, it's
a shear height.
Isn't that?
So, again, it's starting to sound a little like it's Rabbeinu Avraham, maybe.
Because you stack all the pieces, each individual.
I don't need any. Now you're injecting Rabbeinu Avraham, good. I don't need a single piece. I just need to cover this height. So Reb Chaim on this Rambam says, you know what's going on here? Because the Rabbi gets upset about that at the Rambam. But what are you talking about? The Rabbi says, I don't understand you. It doesn't have any minimum thickness, but the next line you told me has the minimum height. I said, what's going on here? So Reb Chaim has a piece here. He develops a fine idea. He says, apparently, I don't think Reb Chaim does, but we could approach this from the point of view of our Gemara. It all comes back to Daf Yom Tov and Rashi, and what the drasha is all about. The shear asara tzvachim is a shear of, what did Rashi tell us? What happens when you asara tzvachim is a shear of rishos. It's a shear of space. We see up to 10 tefachim off the ground as a separate zone from above. Mashal ma'adav radoma, we see the 2,000 amos around the city is like the vicinity of the city. It's still in the neighborhood of the city. Beyond that, it's just open space. So a little bit, not the same, but a little bit, and then around the 4 amos around a single person might be mekomo shel adam, dal amos. So we see that the sort of the, as our Gemara was saying, aretz is the first 10 tefachim of the airspace. That's one makom. And above that, right, we see a sort of a different zone. That's what we learn. That's the source. Now, how does that become a source for mechitza? Because apparently, your plan suggests, it sounds like it's not that the mechitza needs to be 10 tefachim high. Mechitza needs to be makif a makom. That's what a mechitza is all about. We're trying to enclose, that we've been talking about, right? Certainly in Shabbos and in Sukkah, we're trying to enclose a space. That's the idea. Rosh Hashanah is a makam muk of mechitzas. It's a space which is enclosed as opposed to wide open. A sukkah is a space that's at least somewhat enclosed by the defanos. So the Chaim suggests 10 tefachim is not a shear of the mechitza. It's the shear of the space. It's the shear of the sandwich filling. You need enough bread to, you need, how large a pizza do I need? I don't know, it depends on how much stuffing you're putting. Right? If you have beginning the overstock, yeah, you're going to need a bigger pizza to hold all that shawarma. If you just gain a little bit of stuff, you use a small one. So Reb Chaim suggests, the impression you get from the Rambam, and I would suggest from Rabbeinu Avraham, the Tosfos and Erev as well, and the Ri, is it's not really a sheer, it's not that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim high. It's a mechitza has to be makif, a space. The zone you're trying to be makif is 10 tefachim high.
So b'meila, I need something that will cover. If the so to speak, the filling in my sandwich, the 10 tefachim, the space I'm trying to be makir, the 10 tefachim wide, well, then my mechitza has to reach from bottom to top. But that's where Rabbeinu Avraham is saying, it doesn't, in theory, wouldn't have to, it's not that I need an item that's 10 tefachim wide. I need coverage. The shear is fundamentally not a shear of the mechitza, it's fundamentally a shear of the space. The space that we're trying to make with 10 tefachim high. Memela, you're going to build a mechitza after 10 tefachim high. Most of the time, 99 times out of 100, if you're trying to have a stable, sturdy mechitza that doesn't get blown away by the wind, and it needs to cover that space, you're going to typically use a single item, which is 10 tefachim high. But in theory, it doesn't have to be a single item. I just need to have coverage from top to bottom. It's the 10 tefachim, again, is fundamentally not a shear of the mechitza, it's a shear of the space. That explains a host of things. For instance, Tosfos is talking about the ladder. Why the ladder is no ksusi michta shuri? Because Tosfos says, oh, that's not a shir of chashivus. What Tosfos probably means is, it's not that it needs to be four amas. Lulav has to be four tefachim long. Ezra has to be a ke'egos, a kibetza, that's the shir of the thing. Korah has to be a tefach long. But it's not that when you say the ladder to connect two chatzers has to be four tefachim wide, it's not fundamentally a shear of four tefachim. It just, it needs to be a human ladder. Like I said before, if the hamster ladder, it doesn't help. It needs to be human traffic. So practically speaking, it is four tefachim wide. You know, al pi halacha, we don't accept that shear because it's say michta shear because this is asherwood. Who cares? It's not really that the ladder needs a shear of four tefachim. It's just the ladder has to be a human ladder. It is a human ladder. It's not a fundamental shear of the object. Mashaking Korah is a fundamental shear of what's called the Korah. Lechi too, it's not a fundamental shear of the Lechi. It's Mechitza, it's not that the Mechitza needs to be 10 tefachim wide, it's that the Makom needs to be 10 tefachim wide. Memela, Mechitza just needs to practically cover it. And that brings us back to our Gemara. How does the drasha work now? It's gold. With that Reb Chaim in mind, the drasha here is golden. The core idea is that this is a different space. Up until 10 tefachim is Aretz. Above 12 tefachim is Shamayim. You see it from the Shechina. Shechina was not Yoreh to Aretz, so that's why it always hovered above 10 tefachim. Gevaldik, what is that? Tell me that the space of the first 10 tefachim, the airspace of the ground, that's a distinct location. It's a distinct zone. That's what I want to know. Memela, if you're going to build the mechitz around, the mechitz will have to be 10 tefachim high. And finally, that resolves the problem that was raised as an open kasha in footnote 119 in the Ra'ah, who said, Gevalt, have a machloikis between Rashi on the one hand, Taisus around the other hand, because Taisus says, we're learning from here that mechitz has to be a sarat tefachim, right? Which is what we're learning from here. And then they have a Rashi who says, and the Ra'ah says like Taisus. And then they have a Rashi who says that the 10 tefachim is mifsik rishus. He says, two different things. I would suggest, with the Reb Chaim in mind, no, that is the same thing. Fundamentally, the drasha is, as the Gemara says, about Rishos. Memela, that as a consequence, it tells me, practically speaking, we need to build a mechitza as 10 tefachim high in order to enclose the space, which is 10 tefachim high. That's what I know about Shabbos, that's what I know about Sukkah, because it begins with a shear, fundamentally a shear makom, and that's why, because fundamentally a shear of the makom isn't ashera. The airspace is not Ashera. So I don't care about the shear of the mechitza per se. It's just it needs to cover the makom. Just like the ladder, I don't care about the shear of four tefachim per se. It just needs to be able to actually convey, built for conveying human beings. So whenever it's not a fundamental shear in the item, it's just I need to practically serve a certain external purpose. So then we do not apply Kasusi Mechtishure. I both say enjoy your lunch. I'm glad to stick around for questions.
So there are the Kusus says Rashi.